Welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson. That's Nathan Fox. Together, we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Today, we're going to talk about a comment that we got on YouTube from a viewer who was watching one of your videos, right? About reading the question stem first.
Yep. The title of the video is Do Not Read the LSAT Question Stem First.
Yep.
And the comment that we got was, IDK, main conclusion questions do not require you to assess the validity of the argument, so you would be wasting your time. Mm-hmm. And we did respond via a YouTube comment, but I wanted to specifically address it via a video, or I guess this is probably going to, yeah, it's a whole episode of the daily, which will also be posted to YouTube.
Sure.
We could probably talk about this for an hour.
Yeah.
I'll let you start.
Okay. Well, it's just, it's a strategy. So what you're trying to do is you're saying, hey, I have a main conclusion question. The LSAT is asking you, what is the main conclusion of this question? And you're saying, well, if I read the question stem, or what are we calling that? Just the question. If we read the question.
Yeah, I think we stopped using their dumb terminology. I mean,
I do need to clarify that we're talking about the specific question.
Yeah. This strategy comes from Kaplan, I think, originally, right? It was a Kaplan or a Princeton Review strategy on the LSAT logical reasoning. You read the question stem first. That's the part with the actual question mark in it. You read that first so that you know what type of question you're dealing with. And largely, I think that their purported benefit of doing this is that you then can like choose which questions you're going to do because you think you're good at some question types and bad at other question types. And so you're going to cherry pick, you know, I mean, it's a strategy that's built for mediocrity. Like we don't think that you are capable of understanding this whole test. So we're going to have you read the question first so that you can decide which questions you're going to do. And then allegedly save time.
Well, yes, exactly. And what I was going to say about this comment in particular is it's like, I don't know, like this person seems like they're somewhat agreeing with you, right? But they're like, I'm going to disagree with you when it comes to main conclusion questions. The problem with that though, is you have to read the question stem first for every question. If you're ever going to find out whether a question is a main conclusion question. So if this person really believes that there could be this exception carved out for main conclusion questions, well, now you're going to have to change your strategy for every question you attempt, and you're going to run into all the problems that we see when people start reading the question stem first. But even if we ignore all of that extra baggage that's going to come along with this small change, it's actually a big change, when it comes to main conclusion questions, I would never feel confident just like saying, oh, they're looking for the main conclusion and then skimming for the main conclusion. Like the main conclusion is sometimes not obviously stated.
Well, okay. So yeah. Okay. So this is two separate responses, right? That's why we could talk about this for an hour if we wanted to. But to address just main conclusion questions specifically, what are you going to do? You're going to skim it and look for therefore, and then just decide that that's the conclusion?
Yeah.
Well, okay. What are you going to do though if it says therefore in one of the sentences and thus or so in another one of the sentences? Now what are you going to do? Or
you're going to have to decide.
What are you going to do if you skim it and they don't use any of those indicator words at all?
Yep. So, or they don't state the conclusion explicitly. They've done that as well.
Right, right. Or they say something like, Mr. X is in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is in California. California is in the United States, period. That's the entire argument. What's the main conclusion of that argument? The main conclusion of that argument is Mr. X is in the United States, but it was not explicitly ever stated. It was a whole bunch of premises that would lead you to that conclusion, but they never said any of the keyword indicators and they didn't even say the conclusion at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a direct response to the YouTube commenter saying, well, but, you know, I mean, you'd be wasting your time. Well, you certainly wouldn't be wasting your time in any of those instances.
I also think this person misunderstands what happens when we're reading the question. When we're reading these arguments and trying to understand exactly what's going on, all this stuff is really happening quite fast, right? It's like, what are you actually saying? And once we figure out what they're actually saying, we're immediately identifying whether that's a likely to be a premise or likely to be a conclusion in the argument. And as we're making that identification, we're almost instantly deciding whether that sounds like bullshit or not. It's not like we're sitting there and saying, okay, well, now I'm going to do this next step. That may be how it is for people when they first start studying for the LSAT, but as you get better and better at this, these steps, they start to flow together and it just becomes somewhat seamless. You're reading to understand, which immediately triggers responses to what you're reading about whether you think that's a legit or not a legit claim.
So I don't think it helps you on main conclusion questions anyway. Or I can certainly, we can bring up examples of ones where they didn't explicitly state the conclusion or they had multiple keywords in there. I did a question in class just the other night where it was a main conclusion question. There was a sentence that said thus, and that was not the conclusion of the argument.
Yep.
It was an intermediate conclusion. The conclusion didn't have any of the keywords at all, but it was still the main conclusion of the argument.
Yeah.
And you would miss it if you did this strategy. So I don't think it even helps you on main conclusion questions. What percentage of questions, Ben, are main conclusion questions?
Oh, it's one per section at most. One out of 25.
Okay, so we're talking about 4% of the test, maybe.
Yep.
And it doesn't even help you on that 4% of the test. And on other question types, I think it can seriously hurt you. Like, it can make the test make no sense at all. I just hit drill, okay, to pull up a random LSAT question. Here's the first question that popped up when I hit drill.
Okay.
If I read the question first, each of the following, if true, weakens the argument that teenagers lack basic driving skills, except what information has that question imparted on you? Do you think that that is going to actually help you to do better on this question?
I now know what the argument is.
It's an argument teenagers. That teenagers lack basic driving skills.
It's so crazy because as you read it, you now are actually biased by this information as opposed to being able to grapple with the information on your own terms, right? And determine one, exactly what was said and what you think about what was said and the context in which it was said. We don't know any of that, but now it's like you can almost go into this passage thinking you do know and it's that just, you already get it. It's a distraction.
Yeah, it's confusing. It makes the test harder.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's bad, is because it makes the test harder. It doesn't even help when you think it helps, like you think you're shaving off 5 seconds. But it's actually hurting you. Oh, here's another. Ready for another one?
Yep.
Which one of the following most accurately describes the relationship between the argument's conclusion and its claim that one can be at home without being in one's house?
Oh, well, it's nice to know what we're going to go look for. That's sarcasm, by the way. So,
yeah, it makes the test seem harder because you're like, what? Relating the conclusion between this claim. What's the claim? Oh, the claim that one can be at home without being in one's house. What? Well, I haven't read that claim. I don't know what you're talking about. What claim are we talking? And how am I supposed to be relating a conclusion to that claim when I haven't even read the argument? I should shut up. But I like one other reason why reading the question first is dumb. I frequently predict the right answer after just reading the argument itself.
Yeah.
Frequently. Happens all the time. Like, I would say probably 1/3 of the LSAT questions in logical reasoning, I read just the argument, not even the question, and I already have a very good idea what the question's going to be. I already have, like, already answered the question by objecting to the argument.
Yep.
Okay? So 1/3 of the time, I'm predicting the answer before I even read the question. Zero of the time would I be able to do that by just reading the question and not the passage. It's not possible. There's not one LSAT question ever where you can read the question and know the answer. But there are like hundreds or thousands of questions where I can read the argument and know the answer.
Yeah. And I think this goes along with that. I guess my number one beef is that your ability to answer these questions correctly depends entirely on your ability to understand and have and own the argument. And I want 100% of my mind focused on doing that. And as soon as you read a question stem, there's like a portion. Maybe it might only be 5 or 10% of your brain, but it's now being hijacked by your mind, like trying to figure out how that relates to what you're reading, as opposed to reading it with a clean slate and just saying, okay, what are you saying and why is that bad?
Yeah, trying to object can help you find the conclusion on a main conclusion question.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to miss a main conclusion question because I have attacked that passage and I'm like, this is bullshit. Here's your evidence and here's your conclusion. And then when the question turns out to be which one of the following most accurately describes the main point of the passage or whatever, or the main point of the argument, I go, oh, main conclusion? Oh, yeah, well, it was dumb, but here's the conclusion.
Well, and imagine, I know the answer. Imagine, too, that like you're going to court and you're like, well, we're pretty sure the judge is going to ask this question. And your attorney prepares for that one question. And the judge asks that question. And your attorney answers. And everybody feels so good. And then the judge says, well, I have a follow-up question on that, a little bit of a twist. What about this scenario? And you're like, whoa, whoa, Your Honor, I don't really get everything that's going on in this case. I literally read only what I had to read to answer that question that we expected. That's what happens on the LSAT all the time. And it happens in main conclusion questions. People prepare for main conclusion questions. They get them right half the time. It's a gimmick that works on the easier ones. But then on some other main conclusion questions, like the ones that say, the argument was structured to reach which one of the following conclusions? And if you don't really understand the argument, then you don't really know what it was structured toward, right? What it was leading to. And so now you're like that attorney who's like, well, I wasn't prepared for that. I'm sorry. We'll have to come back. It's like, no, you need to come in there and know the case inside and out. You're ready for anything. And then everything is easy. It's easy.
Yeah, I like, by attacking the argument, we're predicting the answer no matter what they ask us.
Yep.
And if you read the question first, then you're going to go in with this narrow, like, looking. It's this weird gimmick that isn't going to actually prepare you. I mean, I guess you know what they're asking you, but you're just, I really feel like it, and I know it does. It's not just that it doesn't help. It actually impedes your progress.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been doing this for, between the two of us, we've been doing this now for 30 damn years. And like, we've helped hundreds or thousands of students who it's been literally hundreds of times that people have said, oh, I improved on logical reasoning by a mile as soon as I stopped reading the question first.
Yeah.
It's like, step one, stop reading the damn question first. You will do better at logical reasoning. Is like why I can't believe that they even teach that stupid strategy anymore. But I'm giving you permission to get rid of that dumb gimmicky trick because it does not help and it actually hurts.
Yeah.
All right. Want to wrap it up?
Yeah. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening. I'm not sure.